This is Father Steve West of the parish of St. Barnabas in Pleasantville and Laramie in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to this our reflection on this first Sunday after Pentecost or Trinity Sunday. The readings for today, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 4a. Psalm 8, 2 Corinthians 13, 11 to 13, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise him. The Lord is here and we will worship him. The Lord is here and we will trust him. The Lord is here and we will honor him. The Lord is here. He has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. His name is mighty, and he is the Lord. His name is creator, and he makes all things new. His name is sustainer, and he holds us in the palm of his hand. His name is savior, and he died in our place. His name is forgiveness, and he can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is holy, and he is the one that we come to worship. His name means he is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and forever. Amen.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Shoulders, ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart.
We pray the collect for the first Sunday after Pentecost or Trinity Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of your divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And we pray our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Accomplishing a God-Given Task. Accomplishing a God-Given Task. In today's Gospel from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, Jesus, before his ascension to the Father, sets before his disciples, present with him, and all who throughout the ages would proclaim him as their Lord and Savior, the task they must accomplish. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 reads, Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. A tremendous task, a lifelong task, an all-consuming task, a task that would require time, effort, and energy. However, a very rewarding task. How would the disciples be able to accomplish this task for their master? What do they require to achieve such a tremendous, wide-ranging, challenging task. A brief look at another individual who was given a tremendous task to do for God would help us to understand how the disciples were able to successfully accomplish that task, and will also help us to do the same in our time and place. I speak of Moses. Moses, as he sat on the mountainside looking after his father-in-law, Jethro's sheep, was called by God to a seemingly impossible task. He was to go to Pharaoh to bring God's people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Pharaoh's empire depended on the Israelite slaves for cheap labor to build their cities and to add to the prosperity of Egypt. Pharaoh would therefore not be inclined to let the children of Israel go. Of course, Moses was the right person for the task. He grew up in the house of Pharaoh as an Egyptian prince. He would understand the mind of Pharaoh and therefore would be in a good position to challenge the mighty ruler. What did Moses need to accomplish this task? First, he needed authority, permission from a higher one, authority being the right to do something. So Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. God replied, "You shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.'" Moses had his authority from the God of the Israelites. The people would listen to him and accept his leadership. However, even with authority, there was another ingredient required for the task. That is power. Authority without power is useless. God gave Moses a demonstration of the power available to him. He was ordered to throw his staff on the ground. It turned into a snake. As he reached out to take up the snake, it turned back into a staff. Moses was asked to put his hand inside his cloak. When he took it out, his hand was leprous. When he put it back and took it out again, it was restored. God went further. God told him that if these demonstrations of power available to him was not sufficient, he was to take some water from the Nile River, and pour it on dry ground, and the water would turn into blood. Moses had authority. He had God's power available to him. What else was required? In Exodus chapter 4, verse 13 and following, after complaining that he could not speak, Moses was still reluctant. And so he said to God, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." God became angry, and he told Moses that he would send Aaron the Levite to speak for him. God eliminated his excuse. Now, Moses had God's authority. He had God's power. What he lacked was the will, the strong desire, the passion for the task. Eventually, with the desire to do the task as asked by God, Moses left his father-in-law's Jethro's house with his family and returned to Egypt. And the rest, as we say, is history. The children of Israel were liberated from slavery in Egypt and, led by Moses, worshiped God on the holy mountain. God chose the right person for the task. God equipped him with authority and power. The will, the desire to do the task, was up to Moses. What do we therefore require to do a task that is set before us? First, authority, the right to do it. Then we need power, the ability or the capacity to do it. And finally, the will or a strong desire or passion to do the task. When God gives us a task, God supplies the authority and the power. The rest is up to us. In the Great Commission, as that passage in Matthew 28 is often referred to. Jesus gave his disciples, and of course that includes us, the authority. He started by affirming that he had all authority in heaven and on earth. He indeed was the Son of God, who was the Creator. He was therefore giving his disciples and us the authority to do this special task for him, to make disciples of all nations, to baptize and to teach. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and following, we are told that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, who gave them power. Power expressed in the ability to speak different languages to the people in Jerusalem at that time. In the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples therefore had authority. They had power. They had the assurance that they would be acting on behalf of Jesus, because he promised to be with them and us to the end of the age. The disciples in the Acts of the Apostles, therefore, had the will, the strong desire, the passion to make more disciples. And we have the evidence of that. The group of disciples grew from 120 to over 3,120 in one day. Throughout the ages, the disciples of Christ have used God's authority, God's power, together with a strong will, a passion, to make more disciples for Christ. Today, God has chosen us. We have the same authority. Authority from God. We have the same power. The power of the Holy Spirit. We must know that in making disciples, we are acting on behalf of Jesus. So the big question remains, do we have the will? Do we have a strong desire, a passion to do this task for God? The answer to this question lies in the heart of each of us. We must answer for ourselves. Do I have the passion, the strong desire, by deed and word, to lead others to Christ? That is the task of a disciple, to make more disciples. God equips us with the authority and with the power. The rest is up to us. We must bear in mind, however, that we will have to answer to God one day about how well or otherwise we have accomplished this task. What is the task? A reminder to us as we commemorate Trinity Sunday. Go therefore and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God the Father, God beyond us, we adore you. You are the depth of all that is. You are the ground of our being. We can never grasp you, yet you grasp us. The universe speaks of you to us, and your love comes to us through Jesus. God the Son, God beside us, we adore you. You are the perfection of humanity. You have shown us what human life should be like. In you, we see divine love and human greatness combined. God the Spirit, God around us, we adore you. You draw us to Jesus and the Father. You are the power within us. You give us abundant life and make us the men and women we are meant to be. Father, Son, and Spirit, God beyond, beside, and around us, we adore you. Amen. O God, the source of our being and the goal of all our longing, we believe and trust in you. The whole earth is alive with your glory, and all that has life is sustained by you. We commit ourselves to cherish your word and to seek your face. O God, embodied in a human life, we believe and trust in you. Jesus, our brother, born of the woman Mary, you confronted the proud and the powerful and welcomed as your friends those of no account. Holy wisdom of God, firstborn of creation, you emptied yourself of power and became foolish for our sake. You labored with us upon the cross and have brought us forth to the hope of resurrection. We commit ourselves to struggle against evil and to choose life. O God, life-giving Spirit, Spirit of healing and comfort, of integrity and truth, we believe and trust in you. Warm wind Spirit, brooding over creation, rushing wind and Pentecostal fire, we commit ourselves to work with you and renew our world. Amen. Almighty God, most blessed and most holy, before the brightness of whose presence the angels veil their faces, with lowly reverence and adoring love, we acknowledge your infinite glory and we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternal Trinity, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, may God be above you to protect you, before you to guide you, beneath you to support you, within you to give you his peace. This day and forevermore. Amen. Remember on Thursday of this week, Thursday the 11th, the Feast of Corpus Christi, where we are invited to focus on the body of Christ, the church, and also our spiritual food. It is also this year the Feast of Saint Barnabas, which is the patron saint of our parish, and also the 99th anniversary of the Mothers Union in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. So we congratulate the Mothers Union on their 99th anniversary. In the words of Canon Mark Kendall from the Diocese of the Bahamas on Turks Caicos Islands, this week test positive for faith, keep distance from doubt, isolate from fear, and trust God. Be safe. The Lord be with you.